back at WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. Happy New Year. Not yet. It's getting there. We have sort of ended the year here with a little bit of a whimper in regard to the Baltimore Ravens. Luke Jones joins us now from Owings Mills. All of our Ravens reports brought to you by our friends at Royal Farms. Real fresh, real fast. And I got the free coffee because of the app on Christmas Day. And then I spent the next day watching the Ravens sort of watch the season get pushed away. And I mean, we've done segments here. We're going to talk all week about the Rams and about what they represent coming in here and the Steelers and how bad Ben Roethlisberger is and all that. And we're beating the Ravens up pretty good because they haven't won in a month and they're probably not going to be a playoff team. And even if they are, what impact would they have? But through all of this, and I know it's hard because Justin Tucker hadn't been hitting 60-yard field goals every week. They've kind of taken the ball off his foot for the most part. But we try to find the standout guys in a season where you will be handing an MVP award out, I would think, very shortly, right?
Yeah, and for me, it might have been Lamar Jackson through the first five or six. It would have been Lamar Jackson through the first five or six games. We know what he was playing, what level he was playing at that point in time. And we know that it was really a struggle for him in the last four or five games he had played leading up to the ankle injury. But I think from the point that he injured his right ankle in Cleveland, and I get it, it's very easy to say, well, the Ravens have lost each game they've played since he got hurt. But you look at Mark Andrews. In the 11 quarters that he's played since, remember, Jackson got hurt on the first play of the second quarter in that second loss to Cleveland. But since then, Mark Andrews has caught, this is 11 quarters of action, 27 receptions, 372 yards, four touchdowns in not quite three full games. He's done that. We know wide receiver and the passing game and quarterbacks have been such a hot button topic over the entire history of this franchise. I remember you and I talking to Vinny Testaverde at the Super Bowl just a couple years ago and thinking about how he threw for 4,000 yards that first year. And he had Michael Jackson and Derek Alexander and, had a defense that couldn't stop anybody, a defense that really had no one of note other than a rookie Ray Lewis, a couple other veterans who had had some decent success in Cleveland, but not necessarily carrying over to Baltimore. But he had a passing game that was explosive and crazy to watch, and they put up big numbers. But there hasn't been a whole lot of that. I mean, even 2 years ago, Lamar Jackson wins MVP. He led the league in touchdown passes, but it wasn't a high-volume passing attack. But what we are seeing from Mark Andrews here in 2021, especially with Jackson missing, three full games, almost a complete another game, for him to put up the numbers that he has put up this year is just remarkable. And it really speaks to how dominant he's been. I mean, this is an organization that has a nice tradition of tight ends. Shannon Sharp revitalized his Hall of Fame career here, went back to Denver, had a couple more years. I mean, lots of people thought, including Denver, thought Shannon Sharp was done. And he wasn't when he came to Baltimore. Todd Heap, a Ring of Honor member, a guy who made Pro Bowls. Dennis Pitta, who unfortunately the hip injury derailed a career that could have been Ring of Honor worthy here in Baltimore. But the level at which Mark Andrews has played this year and how he's playing right now tops all those guys. I mean, it is that dominant. When you consider where he is, he leads the NFL in catches, leads it in receiving yards. He's tied for the lead in receiving touchdowns. I mean, he is on the verge. Only needs a few more yards, and he's going to do it in 16 games rather than all the discussion of a 17-game season, but he's going to break Michael Jackson's yardage record. It's absolutely incredible what he's done this year. He has 93 catches, so he's got a chance to go over 100 catches in 16 games. So even with that extra game, which is going to skew the numbers a little bit whenever you expand the season, he's having an all-time great kind of season for a tight end, not just in team history, but one that goes that ranks up there in the history of the league, for a single season. So he's my team MVP. I don't think there's much debate at this point with what he's done on a weekly basis. And I get it. They've lost the last four games, and you can kind of say, well, how valuable is he if they're still not winning games? Well, you can say that about anybody. Mark Andrews has been absolutely phenomenal this year. glad to see.
Let me ask you this, because somebody out there, I'm sure, is saying, and it would be me as a fan. You're out there more than me, and more observations on the offense and how it's changed. They drafted Hayden Hurst. They loved Hayden Hurst. They loved him enough to draft him. 20 minutes later, they're like, oh, no one's taking the kid from Louisville, the Heisman winner. Let's change our whole franchise like we talked about with Steve down in Florida a couple months ago. And let's take that kid. We get an extra year, which is the year we're about to get, right? Like literally, the gift year that should be the bonus year. And instead of being like the bonus year, it's a mess from a negotiation standpoint to some degree. I don't know if he's going to get back out on the field next week, how much John's going to continue to lie about what might or might not be happening with him. That, you know, I'm sure upsets the gamblers too. Now that we talk about that and we can all run around and wager on it and we don't have to talk about it like that anymore, because that's the biggest story in America is how much wagering's going on these games. And when Lamar plays or doesn't play, how much it moves lines and moves value and moves hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars of money. But, you know, I guess do all of this, for where they are and that move to move to Lamar, no one's benefited more than Mark Andrews, who was the apple of no one's eye, right? No one took him in the first round, second, like where they got him, and he's the emergent guy, and Hurst was not a part of this anymore. It feels like from the very beginning, Andrews sort of got it in the way that Pitta maybe got it before Dixon did, and Dixon went the other way. You draft them both to have them both, right? Like kind of sort of, and then you don't use them both. And then to your point, Andrews emerges as this latter day Dave Casper, Kelsey, Gonzalez, maybe a generational tight end, maybe in this offense. And that remains to be seen whether Lamar continues. But to your point, Lamar, Josh Johnson, Joe Flacco, wouldn't matter, you know, who's throwing the football. Mark Andrews is a hell of an NFL player.
He really is. And that's really what it was interesting. I tweeted it out right after he makes the touchdown catch in the second half on Sunday. And I, you know, those numbers I just mentioned to you, what he has done from the moment Lamar got hurt. And it was interesting to see, and not most people, because I think most people understood it and took it for what it was worth. But it was interesting to see the people that took that factoid as either a knock on Lamar Jackson, which it was clearly not. It was a tribute to your all-pro caliber tight end, a guy who should be the first team all-pro tight end this year. It'll be crime if he isn't. And others took it as an opportunity to knock Lamar Jackson, and I didn't understand that either. This was a tribute to a guy who hasn't just made it work with a backup and now a number three quarterback. He's thrived. He's continued to play at an incredibly high level. But to go back to what you said about Hayden Hurst, I mean, you know, so much of this, and this even applies for Lamar Jackson as well, is not just your own evaluation when you're talking about the pre-draft process, but it's also knowing and anticipating how other teams are going to evaluate players as well. I am absolutely assuming, and I think the Ravens have even said this on the record, that they had a higher grade than a third round grade for Mark Andrews. Probably, clearly they didn't have a grade for him higher than Hayden Hurst, but clearly they thought it was probably more of a second round grade. And, you know, Andrews, there's some questions about how he tested and, you know, how fast was he? I mean, you know, him being diabetic is something that certainly doesn't disqualify him, but a team's going to at least take some pause and do some more research and look at that. So with all those factors, wasn't considered a good blocker at Oklahoma. Lots of talk, you know, with that offense and wide open and high tempo that you wonder, okay, how's that going to translate? How does that correlate to the NFL? And he's answered every question. What's funny, Nestor, is I can still think back to his first training camp, 2018. He was banged up. In fact, I know talking to other beat guys and, you know, we have our discussions about guys and, you know, what we write and what we say on the radio isn't always going to be, you know, isn't going to be as raw as what we say when we're just watching it, talking about it in the same way that someone talks about it in a bar, for example. But there was some sentiment wondering if they were even going to redshirt the guy, essentially, because he wasn't on the field. He didn't look good. It wasn't moving well. And then they got to the season and it was like a light switch came on and this guy just made plays. To your point, even made some plays with Joe Flacco. I mean, wasn't a lot, but you know, he wasn't their number one option at that point in time, but you know, clearly was someone who showed an ability to make plays.
Yeah,
from day one. Right. But that's what was funny. He didn't really show that in training camp to the point where it's like, wow, you know, is this guy going to be a player or is he going to be, you know, a guy who's hurt all the time? I mean, he was banged up and all that. So really is a testament to him. And you just mentioned it. And look, I mean, he's in year four. He's now made the Pro Bowl two of the last 3 years. He's going to have the franchise mark for receiving yards in the season, which I get is a low bar here in Baltimore. But hey, he's still surpassed that. And for a tight end to do that, considering he's going to, you know, barring something weird, will have over 100 catches, which has not happened very often in this league when you're talking about tight ends. One, yes, you do need the opportunities. And yes, he is their top target. You know, he is the guy that Lamar Jackson goes to first and foremost, with Marquise Brown sometimes being that guy. But it's Andrews most of the time. But, you know, when you consider what he's done, I mean, he needs 7 receptions and he'll be just the 8th tight end in NFL history to have 100 plus receptions in a season. And the fact that he could do that in 16 games rather than 17 just makes it that much more impressive. But, you know, he's going to have a chance to put up the kind of numbers if he can do it for a long time. I mean, multiple Pro Bowls, who knows? I mean, he could be a guy that has a chance, is at least in the conversation for a gold jacket, but he's got to do that a long, long time. You know, Travis Kelce's just at the point now, and George Kittle is trying to get to that point where they're viewed in the same way that you look at Gronk, who's going to be a Hall of Famer. Let alone talking about guys like Tony Gonzalez, who are, you know, at the absolute top of the list. So, you know, long way to go, but he's had a special season, not just a great season. He has had a special season, and what he's done here over the last month with Lamar Jackson not being out there. And, you know, we've talked about that chemistry that those two had, even go back to their rookie year down the stretch. Everyone remembers a big touchdown against the Chargers out there in LA and some other big plays, but they always had that chemistry. And you thought, okay, how much of it's Andrews? How much of it is Lamar Jackson? And it's both. We know that. But for him to do what he's done when it's been a backup and then an emergency number 3 quarterback making a start 11 days after he signed with the Ravens in Josh Johnson, it really just speaks to how great, how phenomenal Mark Andrews is as a player. And you know what it reminds me of a little bit, Nestor? Reminds me of some of the numbers Todd he put up with Kyle Bowler or Anthony Wright. You know, guys that, let's face it, were not accomplished quarterbacks and never were accomplished quarterbacks. So Andrews has done that and then some when you consider the numbers he's put up that have just dwarfed anything Todd he has done, which I get it, more volume. And hey, this is a very different game in 2021 than it was in 2003. But Andrews is putting up a season for the ages here. And like I said, we will have local media team MVP voting. I don't even know who else really you could consider. I mean, other guys you can consider, sure, but I don't think it's particularly close. I think Mark Andrews has been that great for this offense, for this football team here in 2021.
And diabetic too. So I always struggle.
Sure.
I watch my wife struggle with that part of her life, and a great admiration for Mark Andrews. Lucas here, he'll be out at Owings Mills all week long. The Los Angeles Rams, don't call them St. Louis. Although St. Louis is going to get a nice chunk of Stan Kroenke's money out of this deal. And I talked to Howard Balzer about that. I also talked to a great lawyer, Dan Wallach, last month. So you can find those out at Baltimore Positive if you have any interest at all in any of that Ram stuff. I may chase down a couple of Los Angeles people here. We're going to be doing some best of this week, having some fun around here, and letting ourselves play into next year with the Maryland Lottery and our Crab Cake Tour. So there'll be a lot of conversations here that I dredge up during the holidays. But sort of last crack at this as we turn the year and go into this as to whether we're going to be in L.A. in 5 weeks with the mask, without the mask, doing radio, not doing radio. I'm not even sure. But for the league and for football at this point, and these bowl games are getting canceled left and right, right? I mean, the Terps think they're going to play in New York. We'll see. By the time you hear my voice, we'll find out. Hockey called it all off last week. This is a terrible time to have the COVID thing be involved in adjudicating football games. I mean, it's one thing for the Ravens to say, well, half our guys are out with COVID. They didn't move our game to Tuesday night. And then there's, well, Lamar can't walk enough to get on the plane and go to Cincinnati. But the league really sort of captivates us, right? And I guess the story of the Bills coming back now, and here come the Chiefs again. I mean, it really is like a horse race with 32 horses, and their little, you know, purple horses was up in front, and now it's sort of falling back, and here comes the red horse. And I mean, even the Cowboys looked okay the other night. The league's going to have a tournament, but boy, COVID's in the way of all of this if Patrick Mahomes can't get the post for a playoff game 2 weeks from now, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's why it... And certainly you don't want to make light of it, but it does make it very captivating. And I'm not sure that's in a positive way, because you don't want to see your stars missing games in the same way you don't want guys to get hurt. I mean, there's nothing worse than teams that are playing at a very diminished level. I mean, let's face it. I mean, the Ravens, okay, you know who that game was fun for on Sunday? Cincinnati fans. You know who it wasn't fun for? Anyone else watching that game, you know, in terms of just if you're trying to look at it from an entertainment standpoint, because it wasn't. I mean, it was complete, you know, it was a 7-on-7 drill, but it does leave the door open in terms of what the Ravens went through or what Cleveland went through, you know, a week ago with, you know, even though Baker Mayfield hasn't exactly played at a high level, but you know, you're missing your quarterback, you're missing your backup. I mean, you know, we've seen Washington deal with it, you know, where going with guys, you know, people never even heard of, you know, at the quarterback position. We remember Denver last year, which, you know, last year, a little bit different circumstances, but, you know, still the challengers are there, but that's why you don't know for sure. Kansas City looks great, as you mentioned. And yeah, they played without Travis Kelce. Tyreek Hill missed most of the week and they had other guys that were missing, but they still had Patrick Mahomes. You take away the quarterback or you take away three members of a secondary. I mean, sure. I mean, the volume is one thing, but like if it's specific guys you're missing, and look at the Ravens. They had no margin for error with their corners anyway. And then they lose more corners.
At this point, these Clevelands and Pittsburghs and Baltimores that are 8-8 and 8-9 and 9-8 and 8-7 and 8-8, like if somebody gets sick this week and you don't make the playoffs because you're one of those teams, whatever. I'm talking about like 3 weeks
from now. No question.
I'm more concerned for the league with the plague and with this thing sort of coming and going and moving around and everybody moving inside and the holidays and let's kiss grandmom and like what's going to happen to the country over the next couple of weeks. I do worry about how it will affect, because it's going to affect the playoffs. I don't think there's any doubt about that. It's going to screw somebody at some point, I think. There's too many players involved.
Well, and I think that's what's kind of, I don't want to say it's interesting because I don't want to be dismissive of any of it, but it is fascinating to kind of look at the timing where you look at a team like the Rams, who are going to be in the playoffs, and you look at them now with Arizona having struggled and the Rams look like, you know, they're going to win that division or they have a great chance. They've already had, you know, what you would, you know, outbreak, big number of tests, however you want to define it, characterize it. You do wonder if the teams that have already, and you look at Omicron and the number of positive tests, you kind of feel like every team's going to have a little bit of this at the very least. The Bengals, you know, they lost DJ Reader at the end of the week, but you know they've only had a couple relative to the Ravens or Washington or the Rams or the Saints or the Bears. You know, go down the list of all these teams, Cleveland. But you do wonder if some of these teams that have already had it or are having it right now, but they weather the storm and they still get in, are they at a greater advantage than teams that right now we kind of sort of think they're avoiding it? And I said this to you last week when we talked about this. I'm not sure it's even a case anymore of someone or a team is not, quote, behaving from a virus standpoint. I don't know if you're going to avoid it, period, no matter how careful you are. That's how... You know, how much this seems to be spreading at this point. So if you're a team that's had it now at the end of the regular season, are you better suited then to weather that in January where maybe it's kind of gone through your area, gone through your locker room, so to speak? Or is it a case of, you know, the teams will just be keeping their fingers crossed and maybe there will be a team that avoids it? I don't know.
Look, Jones joins us now.
You're right.
Sorry. Go ahead.
It's one thing to talk about these fringe teams, but... No, I'm just saying, you're right. It's one thing to avoid these fringe teams where you know, they've already been kind of mediocre. They've already lost games. They're already a wild card and not really deserving. But, you know, those Green Bay or Dallas at this point, or, you know, I mean, the Rams have already lived it.
Or Tom Brady on January 27th.
Yeah. I mean, you just don't know. You don't know. And I mean, it's, as we said, going back to last year, I think you, from a competitive standpoint, you treat it, you kind of just have to view it as any other injury, because I don't think it's as simple as saying, oh, we're going to pause for a week or two. Who knows if it's going to be any better or even worse by then. So I think it is what it is from the standpoint of they're going to play through. That's obvious. Whether you agree with that or not, that's where they are. That's where they've been for 2 years now. And it is a case of, I think you're holding your breath trying to get to game day. And when you get to game day and you have the guys that you have, it's like, all right, let's go play the game. And you hope you have most of
everyone. I woke up on Sunday morning after Christmas and thought, all right, what's the next text Luke's going to be sending along? I mean, Josh Johnson's already playing freaking quarterback. You know what I mean? Like, what else is going to go wrong before 1 o'clock? Right?
It is amazing. The biggest game of the year in terms of the division implications and the AFC North and all of that. And the Ravens, and part of this was injury. I mean, Lamar had a sprained ankle, so you're already in not a great spot, and you're always going to have injuries. I mean, so that's not even related to COVID, but you're in a position because your backup test positive that you're starting a guy who had just joined the team 11 days earlier, and his backup is a guy who was a camp arm in spring and summer. And I'm not saying that to be disparaging. That's who Kenji Bahar is. So
he's local. Be nice.
I was actually hoping John would put him in the game at the very end. Just, I mean, they were out of it. Give this kid a chance to take a few NFL snaps. He's probably never going to get a chance. I mean, so I was a little disappointed in that regard for him. But you know, who knows what's going to happen here? We'll watch. We'll continue to watch, and it's not always going to be you know, fair from a competitive standpoint. But you know, perfect is the enemy of good, right? And for the most part, the league has been able to navigate it pretty well in terms of not talking ethical or whether the rules have been fair or unfair, but the product for the most part has been a representative product over the last 2 years, with a few exceptions. So we'll see what happens. And you said it. I mean, as much as you think certain teams are better equipped for a run than others, all it takes is a team losing its franchise quarterback, its best corner, a wide receiver, you know, running back, you know, left tackle, whoever. You know, you lose a few guys of that magnitude, boy, it changes your team very quickly, as the Ravens can certainly attest to with all their injuries here in 2021.
All right, Luke, you know, enjoy Christmas a little bit. Have extra Christmas. Eat some extra ham. I saw beautiful pictures with your family and your niece, and I mean, even the Sixers fan was happy. It was like three men and a baby, you know. So, you know, I hope you have a good new year here. And it's kind of a weird week as we get ready for this. And certainly for what we do and, you know, our relationship now 13, 14 years into this, and all of these Januaries and Christmases when there's bus trips to Foxborough or thoughts of going to Buffalo and winning football games, or, hey, we might have a bye, we might be home. Really kind of disappointing, right? Like when you write the book about this season, about where it was and where it was headed, this is taking the air out of the football a little bit of what could have been. It really, I'm not bemoaning it, and certainly will. And I began the whole topic of the off season being interesting, because it's going to be very put it back together again. I mean, it's Humpty Dumpty. They're going to have to figure, because it's not all coming back into the box the way it was 6 months ago, the way they planned it out. It all fell apart. I mean, they're going to look at this season as a big cluster. I mean, literally in the end, we're between the plague, the injuries, all the best laid plans, you know, I mean, a shame. I don't know what else to say. I mean, as a Ravens fan, it's a shame.
It is. However, and I agree with everything you just said, when you're talking about a season in that context with everything that's gone wrong and things out of their control, other things, yeah, you could talk about the O-line or certain positions here or there. But for them to still, even with all that going wrong and the tone that you just expressed that I don't really disagree with, they still have a chance in week 17 and week 18 after all of that. It's really a testament to the organization, because there are teams right now in this league, even teams that had expectations, who don't have a shot anymore. And that's where I do say, don't take for granted that they still have a chance here. enjoy this. We're not going to have any football for months. Let's keep that in mind. When it ends, it ends. And it ends quickly, whether it's week 18 or whether it's in the playoffs.
I'm looking so at that for them to smiling bird over your shoulder. That orange
I was just going to say.
That looks at me and says, we're going to lose 99 this year and call it improvement.
And that's what I'm saying. As much as you can point to dissatisfaction, disappointment, things not going well, they're still in a position where they have a chance to be to play some extra football. And I don't know whether they're going to or not. I wouldn't bet on it. But I also know a John Harbaugh team. I'm not going to completely count them out either. But it is still that they're still in the hunt despite everything they've experienced and endured this year. And that in and of itself is a testament to the organization, even acknowledging, they're going to have some decisions, some work to do this offseason. And first and foremost, get healthy. How about that for 2022? But it is extraordinary what they've gone through. And it is deflating when you consider you go into a season, go into training camp with the kind of hope that they had, and it's played out the way it has. But hey, that's football. And, the Colts lost Johnny Unitas at a couple different points. And, they had Earl Morrill. The Ravens have had, Tyler Huntley and Josh Johnson step up, and who knows, if Lamar's not ready and Huntley doesn't come off the COVID list, maybe we're seeing Josh Johnson again. And hey, give him credit. I almost called him a kid when he's 35 years old. You can take those little tiny stories, and even though it didn't equate to a win on Sunday, it's still kind of cool to see what he was able to do, and just enjoy these last couple weeks for what it is. Because like I said, once it's over, we'll be waiting a long time for even the draft, let alone talking about football in the fall.
Next thing, he's going to tell me they're going to take the wise eggnog away from me in a couple of weeks, too. And they are. I know they are. He is Luke Jones. He is Baltimore Luke. You can find him out on Twitter, Facebook. You can find all of our work at BaltimorePositive.com. Lots of conversations, lots of podcasts, lots of things to listen to, and lots of growing and building going on, and a big appreciation at the end of the year here for all of our sponsors who've stuck with us, the Maryland Lottery that's come on this year, Wise Markets has come on, and all Planet Fitness, our friends at Coons Ford. I mean, all of the sponsors that we have that are local, from Costas, where I was there 2 weeks ago. I was at Fadley's the other day. By the way, Luke, a little Oriole story while I have the bird behind you. Damian down at Fadley's texts me. I text her on like the 22nd. And I'm like, hey, can you still ship crab cakes? I want to give you a plug out on social media. And I want to come over and get a couple crab cakes that I was going to deliver to Chris Pica, right? Which I did deliver to Chris Pica. And he's, I think he ate them while watching the Redskins fight with each other. So I hope he enjoyed that even more as a Baltimorean. But I text Damie. Damie sends me back a text of Bruce Zimmerman stuffing crab cakes into boxes because they're family friends. She's known him since he was a little boy. He was best friends with her kids. So he comes and helps Fadley's stuff crab cakes. I mean, is that a great Oriole story? He didn't start opening day, right? He started like the third, fourth game of the year. How many starts did he make this year? 15?
He would have started all year if not for the fact that he got hurt. I mean, right. So of their young pitchers, he's
stuffing
pretty good.
Crab cakes at Fadley's. For our sponsors. It's almost like when Stacy Keebler was an intern here, right? Like,
cool.
We have all these stories. Andy Mueller was on this week telling old stories because of my 30th anniversary, and Kenny Albert and Don Moeller. We're going to do some storytelling around here this week. We got the Rams in town, and stay safe during the holidays, and get some crab cakes. I mean, drink some eggnog, eat some leftover pastries. It's the holidays. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking crab cakes and Baltimore Positive.